The Lord may be pleased to help me, friends. I will direct your attention to the first chapter of Genesis, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The first chapter of Genesis, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This word, my friends, woke me up in the early hours of the morning, this morning. And it came with power. It came in such a way, perhaps peculiar to me as the Lord's servant, but it came in such a way as to convince me it was to speak from tonight. But there has been no light on it at all. I have been, during the course of this day, not only in perplexity, but in much distress. I can only bring the word before you tonight in the knowledge that this is the living God who speaks. I know he spoke this word to me this morning, and I am just as convinced that it is to lay before you tonight. Because I have been in this place before, not without light, but with a word laid upon my mind with so much power that I have been afraid to turn away from it, convinced it was of the living God to speak of. Now the word I can only set before you then as the Lord helps me to speak of it. The two psalms I have read before you, I feel, are connected with our word. For while we have an actual setting forth of something that was done in time, something that was to do with nature, in that God caused the light to be seen where there had been darkness, I believe of this same God, unto the end of this world, will speak the same word spiritually and will cause the light to shine in the heart of men as he did upon this earth. It will be an effective light. We find in the verse before, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is exactly the same in the experience of a child of God before the Lord causes the light to shine. And it is the same Spirit of God that moves upon the heart of man. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and where there was no form and darkness was about everywhere, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Almighty God spoke, and it was done. The same effect takes place spiritually. Hence, if the Lord will enable me for a little while this evening, I want to speak about this from a spiritual standpoint. I've looked at the 88th Psalm many, many times before. It is the darkest psalm in the book of Psalms, friends. Have you ever read it before? It speaks of the destitution felt by the psalmist in his soul. There's no word of mercy in it. He doesn't speak of the goodness of the Lord to him. He's in complete darkness. He says, "I've cried day and night before thee. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh to the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Do you know anything of this, sinner? The children of the living God will come this way in their measure. The children of God are the same as any other before conversion, before brought into a sense of need. They're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and it isn't something they hear about, nor something they read about. It's something they truly feel when the finger of God is laid upon them. Do you know what it is, my friends, to be in darkness? Darkness that only the living God can cause to flee. Darkness that lays your very soul in hell. Real things these are. And I believe every chosen vessel of mercy will go there in their measure, according to the sovereignty of God. Perhaps the Lord's servants see more of this than others. But I know one or two now who've literally felt to be in the belly of hell. Real darkness, near as can be to black despair through sin. Perhaps you know a little of it. It is a mercy, friends, to be brought there by the living God. For he doesn't deal with men in such a way as that and send them to hell. If such a work takes place in the heart of man, the Spirit of God moving upon the face of his heart, there'll be deliverance. It will be, as declared here, and God said, let there be light. He'll say it. In your case, if you've never been there, friends, solemn place to be in, never felt the weight of sin, never felt to be in darkness, solemn place to be found in, satisfied with a religion that's easy, solemn place to be found in, friends, to sit in the house of God and to imbibe all the comfortable things and be satisfied. There are blessed, comfortable things in the gospel, and they are the entitlement of the children of God, but there'll be darkness first. And there'll be darkness in between too, for there'll be a return to these places from time to time, because while you're in this time state, 'twill be to carry with you a body of sin and death. That will only be finished with when you lie in the grave, if you belong to the Lord. Where are you, sinner? Know anything of this way? These solemn things recorded in that 88th psalm. The psalmist says, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. What does it mean, friends? Something we don't hear much about today. The Lord God hates sin. And that which is recorded in his word will come to fruition. Sinners out of Christ will go to hell. There aren't many who want to hear it. It's not liked too much amongst us, friends. An easy ministry is comfortable to the natural ear. Solemn to be left short. The Lord God hates sin, your sin. And my sin is the cause of all our troubles in this world, the sin of man, the sin of the wicked, of those found out of Christ, will carry them throughout the eternal ages to come under the wrath of an offended God. Condemnation. But There are people whom he loves with an everlasting love, and they in the time state will know his chastening hand, not his condemnation to send them to hell. But he'll bring them from time to time into distressing places, because sin remains while man lives, while this earth remains. But there's mercy with him. Now the word before us tonight is a word of comfort to those whom the Lord loves. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If there's one here this evening walking in darkness without any light, who grieves over that condition? Who calls upon his God from his heart from time to time, "Lord, help me"? There will be light. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? It's not a casual word, friends. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his guard. There's reality here. Poor sinner may be saying, the one that's in darkness, "Oh, that I could feel the power of that, staying upon my guard. But rather I'm in darkness, deep darkness. I feel the Lord's gone from me. The enemy's near. Yea, and my heart's so full of unbelief, I can't take hold." Blessed be the name of your God, my friends. He doesn't expect of you what you can't do. And there's no ability in man to obey either the precepts or the exhortations of the Lord. The strength is never found in a rotten human nature or a wicked heart. But if the Lord set a desire in your poor heart, caused you to grieve in spirit from time to time, and enables you even to breathe out a desire before him, he'll do his own work. He'll give you the strength to do it. He'll enable you to stay upon your guard. He'll bring to fruition the work that he's begun. And God said, "Let there be light." There was light. Well, the psalmist, I'm not going to go too far into this psalm. It's too deep. It's a dreadful psalm, naturally. But from time to time, portions of it belong to the children of God. "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" Is the one here in this place? It's the mercy of God you've come there, sinner. There's countless thousands who have no such desires for him. But this character walking in so much darkness is the one in the 107th Psalm. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They have no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And bless his name for it, sinner. He delivered them out of their distresses. Here's the light. It'll come. Now what's the foundation of all this? It is that God the Father chose a people in his eternal mind ere the worlds were formed. And he gave this people to his Son. We hear it scores of times. I know, I've heard it plenty of times myself, in a day when it mattered nothing to me other than going to chapel. But they're living realities. God the Father chose a people. He called them the election of grace. He gave them to his own dear Son to be redeemed. with an everlasting salvation. It was a work to be completed, and that work was completed. The dear Son of God came into this lower world with one eternal purpose, to save a people. He came with one prospect in view, to suffer, bleed, and die. How many forget that? How many talk about his wondrous life, his perfect obedience, but his life was a life of extreme suffering, to ultimately end in death. He was to suffer for you, poor sinner, you whose eyes are fixed on him as your only hope of salvation. He came into this world with a purpose, and that purpose was completely satisfied. Not a hoof shall be left behind. As he groaned in Gethsemane's garden and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, it was with a groaning spirit before his God, Lord, help me. The manhood of Christ wrestled with the powers of darkness, and the living God upheld him, for this people must be saved. Here's the foundation, sinner. This dear Redeemer, Jesus is his name. He satisfied the whole divine law of God in his walk through this life in the man that he was. Flesh and blood, no sin. He laid down his holy life on Calvary's tree to satisfy divine justice in every jot and tittle. There he worked out for sinners a full salvation. It is finished. Here's the foundation. Now this dear Redeemer sits at the right hand of the Father, and there he ever lives to make intercession for his people, you. Here's the case. You who walk in darkness from time to time, why? Because the Spirit of God hath revealed unto you what you are. Because, as a consequence of this, the enemy hates you. The enemy comes in again and again like a flood. He knows your disposition better than you know it yourself. He knows the weakness of your sinful heart. He plays on it, doesn't he, from time to time. And you fall, don't you? Isn't this true? The consequence of it is the hand of God is laid upon you. He hates your sin. But what is the consequence of all this? You pray, don't you, sinner? You didn't used to, did you? Very different the prayers of a day gone by. Are those formal prayers? Are those prayers you learned in coming to chapel? Are those prayers you learned perhaps at home? Now 'tis God be merciful to me, a sinner. Isn't this true? You know, and God knows too. And how solemn it is to say, yes, that's my way, and be a hypocrite before this God who can send you to hell in the twinkling of an eye. The children of God are afraid of this. Is it your case? The children of God are brought into a place of understanding. Thou, God, seest me. God said, let there be light. And there was light. This character prays now, in truth. You? Is it you? You know the language now of the psalmist in that 116th psalm, for here's the light. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Dare you deny this? You who pray, you never had any answers, real ones. Not those natural answers. We hear it from time to time. I've told the Lord about it and he did work for me. So lightly, so easily. You had any answers, poor sinner, that's brought you to the feet of Jesus? Humbled your soul, unworthy, wretched me, but the Lord heard my cry. He did help me. He's a good God, unworthy, wretched sinner that I am. Had any answers? Ones you can take hold of? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Has he instilled that in your heart? You can't give up praying. You must keep near the Lord from time to time anyway. Oh, I know, my friends, in every believer, two armies are seen. This isn't hearsay either, is it? It isn't theory, is it? Something that's true in you, isn't it? Consequently, sometimes become indifferent, even now. There are times of coldness and death within. But you won't give up praying, will you, sinner? Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's shining now. It's the light and life of Christ within you. Let's go on a little further. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Is this the way you've come? Not many in this world in such a condition as this. Plenty have got religion. No doubt there are hundreds of thousands got none at all. But you've got that which the Lord hath given you, a praying soul, a living desire for Christ. And the pathway, it ever will be so, a pathway of sorrow and trouble and difficulty and fear. A pathway of need. There's no easy way to heaven, sinner. But it'll be worth it when you get there. That's not lightly said, my friend. I know there are plenty who talk about heaven. But the children of God, you, the language of the psalmist suits you better. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. They join together, aren't they? Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, thou art precious to my poor soul. But oh, the way, oh, how again and again my flesh rebels against it. The thorny way, the difficult way. Oh, the sins in the way. But let's continue. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's heaven, isn't it, sinner? That's the end of the journey to you, a precious Christ. To be swallowed up in his love, redeemed with an everlasting salvation, united to Christ by the ties of everlasting love. The pathway will be a pathway of darkness very often. God will say again and again, let there be light. There will be light. The psalmist says, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. This will be the way, poor sinner. Ah, but there's something else in this psalm. I wonder whether it affects you. The psalmist says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? There's something here that men oft times kick about. It's a strange pathway. The Lord brings one out of darkness into his marvelous light. He opens the way, that rough way, that impossible way, and he helps one along. And then when he records in his word, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, this poor one says, I can't do that. Why, I haven't got anything. I can't do anything about it. I shall be a hypocrite. What a strange way it is. God said, let there be light, and there was light in your case, wasn't there? Why do you hold back, poor sinner? I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What else can you do, poor sinner? Have you got anything you can give to the Lord in return for all his benefits to you? Isn't he worthy to be praised? What holds you back? This is a strange way to me, my friends, too, for 'tisn't often I preach this way, but it seems laid upon me at this time, for I remember in the days before my baptism, one of the Lord's servants sang, and it was so powerful it went right into my heart, the blessing is the other side of the water. What is this blessing? It is to see Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus, and to acclaim him as all your salvation. What is this? Because one takes upon oneself an open profession. Nay, not because you do it, but because you seek to return unto the Lord that which is his due. An acknowledgement of his wondrous mercy, chosen you out of the mass of ruined humanity, set you in his own dear Son, made you one of his favorites. What else can you do, poor sinner? Ah, the child of God from time to time hearkens to the adversary. You know, if you wait until you're better, the poet says, you'll never come at all. And what good will you do, perhaps you say, if you join a church? What good will you do by being baptized? Will you make the church any better? Nay, my friends, you'll never be any different in yourself. You won't get to heaven any quicker, nor will you be more certain of going to heaven by joining the church. But I'm quite sure of this, that if you make profession before a dying world of whom you love, the Lord will bless you for it. I know also he'll bless you for telling old Satan he's a liar. Telling him not in your own strength, but telling him in the strength of your God. For taking upon yourself that which he hath promised. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, proving that he is faithful in these things. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's turn aside just for a few minutes. There are other things here. If the Lord has opened your eyes to see your need of Christ, there'll be trouble in time. There'll be troubles here. The world have got troubles, I know, but you'll have troubles perhaps in a deeper way. Why should this be? It'll be, my friends, to prove that this God is the living God and your God. To prove that he is faithful in all he sets before the people. Again and again the enemy will endeavor to pull you down. He will dispute, but he'll endeavor to prove that you're not the witness of the living God. Your pathway then, perhaps at this time, is particularly difficult. There's something coming your way that there is a need for the Lord to say, let there be light. There's a problem in your life. Is there one here like that? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Have you tried calling upon the Lord? Yes, perhaps this one says, I've laid it again and again before the Lord, but he seems to shut out my prayer. Our text tonight, my friends, may well be to meet your case. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now look again. The verse that follows says, and God saw the light, that he was good. He'll do the same with you. Your case, whatever it is, the Lord in his own good time will cause the light to shine. He'll bring you out of darkness. It'll be for his own glory. For the children of God, when they are delivered, always put the crown on the head of Jesus. This is the only reason for deliverance. It's the only reason for salvation, that King Jesus shall be exalted, set up on high of the glorious head of grace, a precious Christ. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Have you really got a problem, sinner? Is it something that really troubles you? Sometimes you don't know which way to turn. Why don't you give up? You've laid it before the Lord again and again, and you seem to get no help, no answer. Why don't you give up? Here we have another evidence. It is because you experience the same things as Peter. Where else can we go? This is so, isn't it? You know everywhere else is a hopeless place. Every man to look to is a rotten prop. There is but one place, the living God. Who keeps you there? Your God. He who says, let there be light. And there was light. Your problem, my friends, is to keep your soul alive. Without trouble, you'd have no need of God, would you? Doesn't it bring us again to a solemn conclusion? The wretchedness of man, the utter depravity of the human heart, with all the goodness and the mercy of God to your soul. You had no more troubles. You'd turn away. You'd go your own way. But the Lord won't have it so. His people are precious to him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord Jesus, my friends, looks to that day when he shall gather together one glorious triumphant church. He'll see to it you don't lose your way. He'll see to it you don't turn back. He'll keep your soul alive. There'll be something then to the end of the journey that'll give you a need of this God. But ever 'twill be until you come to the end of it all. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And now from time to time, the child of God wants light in a different direction. He wants light on Christ. He's the one here wants that. Wants to see his face. Wants to hear his voice. Wants to feel his love. Who set this in your heart? The Spirit of God. Oh, what a favor, friends, to have an aching heart the world can never fill. What a favor it is to have that love toward Jesus that can't be satisfied without another favor, another touch, another smile. What a favor, my friends, to be found a seeking soul. One who says, ah, but I haven't as yet entered into that place to taste, but oh, I long to do so. That word, my friends, is not a strange one. He has become the song of the drunkards. That's the world. With you, in desire, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. 'Tis the work of your God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He'll bring you into the banqueting house at the appointed time, and he'll set over you the banner of his love. And you'll say, as the church of old did say, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Precious Jesus, none comparable to this precious man. Lovely Jesus, lovely Jesus. Yes, thou art precious to my soul, my transport and my trust, said one. You say that? Precious Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. God said, let there be light, and there was light. There's going to be still a day of darkness, friends. That's going to be the day of death. It comes to all men, but with the wicked there'll be no light. That darkness will last forever. But oh, the joy of that everlasting day to come, to you who are loved of God and precious, that glorious morning which shall come without any break again. No more night, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin, swallowed up in a precious Christ forever. God will say, when mortal life is finished, let there be light, and the light of an everlasting day will shine in your soul. What a day that will be, to see him whom your soul loveth. Precious, precious, lovely Jesus, and that glorious day yet to come, that day of resurrection. What a light will shine then, fashioned in a body like unto his glorious body, like him whom your soul loveth. Truly then the blessed union, one with Christ forever. God said, let there be light, and there was light. How does it affect us now? God said, let there be light on my precious gospel in the souls of all my redeemed people. Give them an understanding, and the Spirit of God causes that light to shine in the darkness, revealing a risen Christ as the only way of salvation. Has that light shone in your heart, sinner? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is of the arm of the Lord revealed? That question was asked in Isaiah's day. It's still answered as the days go by. They that believe are those who are taught alone by the Spirit of God. To you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The light has shined. God said, let there be light, and there was light.